Make sure that you realize God is not looking for kings. He's looking for servants.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Previously, in the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's message that aired last week, we learned how Israel's greatest king, David, began life in obscurity. Even his family, it seems, considered him of little account. Nevertheless, God had big plans for this young man. He had singled him out for greatness. God is still in the business of turning nobodies into somebodies. So let's rejoin Pastor Grant now as he brings the rest of his message, Becoming a Person of Destiny. Here again is Pastor Grant.
One of the biggest problems in Christian work, in fact, you may not realize this, that there's incredible amount of problems on the mission field. And the primary problem on the mission field is people problem. Did you know that? Missionaries have a hard time getting on sometimes with other missionaries. And part of it is this thing called pride. Because nobody wants to be the server. Everybody wants to be the big cheese. As God develops us, oh, I hope you're listening to me. As God develops us, He wants us to develop a servant heart. Oh, sometimes, you know, it's not only on the mission field. I still remember being on a certain mission field, and the missionaries, the official missionaries from America, they had, you know, there was no electricity or anything, but they had everything. They had generators, they had ice, they had everything. They even had maids. Here we are, we're in the other section. It's hot like fire. The missionaries hadn't even come to see how we were doing. And then I remember one day, because I was preaching almost all day long and I was burning. Oh, I wish we had time to tell more stories. You know, I'll just tell this one. So just a story. You don't have to worry about this happening again, because nowadays everything is good, okay? Brother Korich and his team have excellent facilities, and I promise you that, okay? But I'll never forget that first time. It was so hot. It was over 100 degrees at night. The only way we could sleep, we soaked washcloths and put them on our head. The windows were open to get whatever breeze there was. And all of a sudden, in the black, dark night, an animal jumped through the window. There was a scream, because the animal jumped through the window onto somebody's bed. And of course, all of us reaching, trying to find our flashlight. What is this animal? I knew it was that fearsome wild animal from the bush. It was a cat. But anyhow, coming back to my story, all we wanted was, I said to my brothers, I said, oh, if the Lord could just bless us with some ice. Oh, just some ice. And but we didn't have the courage to go and ask the real missionaries, could we get some ice? Brother Herb Dean says, brother, if you need ice, I'm going to get you some ice. Hallelujah. He went and got us some ice. But here's the point I'm making. Make sure that you realize God is not looking for kings. He's looking for servants. And so as God blesses you and you take up your responsibility, as you notice more and more, I'm talking to my younger folks and reminding them that God has plans to use them in leadership in this church. When it's your turn, make sure you realize that you are called to be a servant leader, a servant. And David developed a servant's heart. He developed a servant's heart, but second, he developed a hungering for God's ways. Put that down. Jump with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 24. And from verses 1 through 3. Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines. I'm reading verse 1 of 1 Samuel 24. that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Samuel took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goat. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. You know, Engedi was a great place for David to hide. Oh, when you get there, you'll see all the streams, there are flowing streams at Engedi, just lush foliage at Engedi. But an incredible complex of caves that go up into the mountains. This was a great place to hide. And not only did you have water, not only did you have a good hideout, but on top of that, there were these mountain goats. There was food at Engedi. And can you imagine the curried goat? I don't know if these Jamaicans who curry goat, have they ever had curried wild mountain goat? I wonder what would that be like. But the bottom line, he had food, he had water, he had everything he needed at Engedi. And he and his men were hiding. Saul had to attend to his needs. Oh, I hope you understand what the Bible means by his needs. You see, even a king has to go when he has to go. As David was hiding, a man passed by dressed in royal robes. He could hardly believe his eyes. It was King Saul. The king had to go. And in order not to mess up his robe while he was going, he took off the royal robes and laid it in one of the caves. When David's men saw this, they thought they had hit the lottery. This was their lucky day. But knowing that David was a man of God, they got spiritual. So here's what the men said in verse 4. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Knowing David, they did that. You know, they were right in a sense. For God had indeed set this up. This was the day. God had set this up. But God had designed it to test David and to develop his godly heart. This would be an experience to develop David's godly heart. Look at verse number 5. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him. All he has done is cut off a piece of the royal robe. But that troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. Now, my brother and sister, what an amazing story this is. This man is hunting to kill you. And you know you've already been anointed king. This man is not only trying to kill you, he's standing in the way of your destiny. You see, some of us, we will do anything to get rid of anyone or anything that is blocking us from achieving our goal. But David said, no, I don't have to do that. I am God's servant. It was God who has anointed me to be king. I'm going to let God take care of business. Amen. David was developing a hungering for God's ways. Little song says, I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that the child of God should know. I wonder if that's our desire this morning. Is our desire that I want God's way? That was David's determination. He knew God would work it out. My friend, the plans that God has for you, God will work it out. You don't have to manipulate people and harm people and try and damage people and kick out people. You don't have to do all of that nonsense. I watch Christian leaders sometimes, and I wonder if they don't recognize that God can take care of his business. You don't have to do all sorts of manipulations. Listen, David, in his 22 years of training and development, he developed a servant's heart. He developed a hungering for God's ways. But third, he developed a teachable spirit. You know, some of you already know the story of Nabal, and we don't have time to read the whole story. I don't know if one of the other brothers is going to bring up Nabal, but I know the ladies already just spent 12 weeks in their Bible study about Nabal. But if you don't know this story, when you go home, you read 1 Samuel chapter 25. Here's the bottom line. David was about to kill Nabal because he had acted unjustly. But Nabal's wife intervened. And let's see what happens here in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 32 to 35. You can read the rest of the story on your own. David said to Abigail, because she entreated him not to do what he was doing. He said, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back, who kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. I'd have killed, me and my men would have killed every male in your home, and all of your male employees, they'd be all dead." So David received from her hand what she had. By the way, you're saying, is this the same man that we just read about? You see, you notice why, no wonder our theme is growing in God through the what? Ups and downs of life. Does your life go through any ups and downs? It's not always up. Sometimes it's down. Sometimes the flesh takes over. Sometimes the flesh, and here it was. But David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." David had a teachable spirit. Some of us resent correction. Some of us think we know it all. Nobody can tell us anything. We have all the answers. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it. And I don't care who you are. I'm going to do it my way. May God have mercy on us. Because whenever we have that type of spirit, a person that does not have a teachable spirit is not a person that God is going to do much with. Oh, we may think we're getting along. But listen, once we have that mindset, we have placed limits on how much God will use us. Once we decide we're not teachable, we must do it our way. We have limited the degree to which God is going to use us. We all need to develop a teachable spirit. Are you teachable? David was anointed for destiny. Second, David was prepared for destiny. And finally, we want to look at the fulfillment of David's destiny. Turn, if you would please, to 2 Samuel. You could put this in your notes. God's purpose is fulfilled. We're going to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. And I want to read here from verses 1 through 4. It happened after this. This little phrase keeps popping up. It happened. It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? the Lord said to him, go up. David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron, or Hebron, however you pronounce it. So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. So he did marry her after that, yeah? And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron, or Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Part one of God's destiny for David was fulfilled. He was now finally king of Judah. But as I said earlier, 7 more years would have to pass because before he would be appointed king of Israel. Make no mistake, the fulfillment of our destiny usually does not happen overnight. For as I've said before, masterpieces take time. And God is creating his masterpiece in our lives. My brothers and sisters, let's not get impatient. And let's not get surprised. The story of David helps us to realize that along the way, as David develops you and as he creates a masterpiece in your life, this story is letting us know that there is likely going to be some pain along the way. Because David was running for his life for year after year. And the devil sometimes, because there is a delay, and sometimes because there is pain, the devil tricks us and fools us into believing that God is not working out his plan. But my friend, when the devil tries to fool you into believing that God is not working out his plan, let us recommit to God's preparation process. Amen. Let us realize that God is working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. God is at work in our lives. Amen. And at the right time, he will bring to pass his perfect plan for our lives. Well, here's the final thing I want to talk about this morning. God's command was disobeyed. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. There was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Ammon by Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. His second, Chiliah, by Abigail, the widow of Nabal. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, please don't name your son this. The fifth was Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream, by David's wife, Eglah. All these were born in that short 6 or 7 years. They were in Ephraim. He had 6 children by 6 different wives. This was not unusual, for that's what kings did back then. They showed their power and their status by having many wives. But David knew better. For God's word spoke about this. Deuteronomy chapter 17, jump over there. Deuteronomy chapter 17, God's word spoke about this. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14, the word of God says, when you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and possess it and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me, you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. But if you look, verse number 17, but make sure not to multiply wives. David knew better. He dropped his guard and he disobeyed God. And as we'll see in the weeks ahead, this led to conflicts between the children of the various wives. And it eventually caused his total disaster. David gave in to his flesh Not only did he follow the other kings. Be very careful how you pattern your wife after your neighbors and other people. How you pattern your after your Facebook friends. Because they did this, you got to do it too. Be very careful how you're following people. But be very careful how you give in to the flesh. David clearly gave in to the flesh. In fact, we'll see that was his downfall. A man who achieved so much. But yet, anytime we think of David, one of the things that also quickly comes to our mind is Bathsheba. A man who God had called for such a special purpose. You know, though God is forgiving, there are always consequences when we disobey him. There are always consequences. And so this morning, as I bring this to a close, as we pursue our destiny, let's remain vigilant and not give the devil a foothold in our lives. God has a plan. Young man, young lady, older person, God has a plan. And if you don't stay vigilant, you can destroy God's plan. You can damage the incredible destiny that God has for you. You can hurt the plan. There are consequences. You know, one of the most popular shows in television history was Seinfeld. You ever seen Seinfeld? Seinfeld was so popular, in 2019, Seinfeld, the producer of the show, was worth $950 million. I'm sure by now he's well over a billion. That show made him a billionaire. Here's the thing that's amazing. The key to Seinfeld's success is that it had no plot. Did you know that? I was actually surprised when I read it. The key to the show's success is that it had no plot. Each episode was totally aimless. It was going nowhere. And sadly, some Christians are living a Seinfeld life. They're going nowhere. Nowhere for God. They have no mission, no sense of God's call on their life, no commitment to God. They're just drifting, just enjoying the ride. That's not God's plan. God has made you for a purpose. He has an incredible purpose. For every single Christian. The question is, are you this morning going to say, I will continue on the way I'm going? Or are you going to change gears and say to God, Lord, I am available to you. God has a plan. It starts with the right heart. And that right heart requires your submission. And availability to God. And I'm going to ask you right now, as we close the service, would you say to God, Lord, I am available to you. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.